The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, Europe. Shock, risk, gamble. These are the words being used to describe French President Emmanuel Macron's decision for a snap general election. Last night, he declared that he would dissolve the National Assembly and hold elections after the far-right National Rally took over 30% of votes. Across Europe, far-right parties are seeing a surge as the results continue to come in from European elections. I'm joined now by John O'Brennan, Jean Monnet Professor of European Integration at Maynooth University. John, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
I'll put a question to you from one of our listeners called Rose. Please explain why we are still knee-deep in voting papers, but mainland Europe has already got results.
Well, that you can put down to the wonderful artifact that is the PRS-TV system, and the fact, I suppose, that you had a record number of candidates running. When I was voting in Kildare on Friday and I had the ballot sheet out, it was like scrolls from the New Testament. It went on that long. So I think that partly explains it. We also decided to wait until the last results, the last voting took place in Europe yesterday. So we always tend to be the last country where the results come in from. I met Marion Harkin yesterday and she told me 1 year she was the very last MEP elected. So it isn't that unusual.
Yeah, but we also are still using paper. I presume other countries are using digital counting.
The vast majority of member states use digital counting. Absolutely, yes. We are definitely an outlier in that regard.
Now, I mentioned in my introduction that it's a massive surprise that what President Emmanuel Macron has done in France, dissolving the National Assembly and thus thrusting his electorate into another election in short order. Do you understand his thinking?
Well, I think he's deeply worried, Pat. There's lots of speculation last night about why he did this. I saw one comment that this was a potentially suicidal decision, given the reversal in the position of Macron's party with Marine Le Pen's party. But I think in truth, what Macron is doing is looking at the numbers and particularly looking ahead to the French presidential election in 2027. He can't run again, of course, but he's clearly worried that Marine Le Pen now has such momentum that she is going to be the candidate to beat in 2027. And if you look at the numbers in the French National Assembly, they're very interesting. For decades, there was this kind of cordon sanitaire around the old National Front party, which her father, Jean-Marie, led, and the National Rally that she leads. They had no seats in the French National Assembly. They found it almost impossible to be elected for the same reasons that Nigel Farage and his people found it difficult in the UK, because in the French two-round system, in the second round, it's first past the post. So usually the Democratic parties would unite with one candidate to keep out the National Front. Now, two elections ago, that changed. They got five seats in the assembly for the very first time. But last time around, they got 88 seats. Now, that was an incredible advance by them. And they've only managed to keep going forward. So yesterday, they got more than 30% of the vote. And on those numbers, they are projected potentially to be the largest party in the assembly. So what I think Macron is doing is essentially turning this election into a referendum on himself and his legacy. But it's also a referendum on the far right. And he's saying to the French people, do you really want the far right in power? This is the time to decide.
Now, that's his gamble. There are others who are winners and losers. And let's talk about the woman at the top, Ursula von der Leyen. She would be regarded as one of the winners, I suppose, because the EPP has gained seats.
Yeah, I think this is true. In many ways, this was a story of 27 different national elections, as it often is. But von der Leyen, the leader of the European People's Party faction in the parliament, will probably feel strengthened. It looks like the EPP is going to gain some seats when many people, including myself, thought that they would lose seats. They'll probably come back with somewhere in the region of 5 to 10 extra seats. So based on the polling of recent months, that represents a win for von der Leyen. So in the short term, her hand is probably strengthened. And pro-Europeans will probably look at the election and say, this was a good election for us because the centre ground held, as it seems to have done in Ireland. But I would point out that the continuing advance of the far right hasn't been stopped. They'll probably have at least 10 extra seats in this parliament. It could be up to 20 seats by the time all the counting is finished. Now, that won't really matter because the centrist majority will be comfortable enough. But the big question for von der Leyen remains whether she can actually secure election. She should be okay in the European Council because about 12 or 13 of those governments are run by EPP parties. But where she's going to find it very difficult is the confirmation vote in the European Parliament. The Parliament has got to vote by a majority of its members, which means 361. She will come back with about 185 or 190. She'll be way short of what she needs. Last time around, the centre-left parties and the Liberal Renew party supported her, and that got over her over the line. But she only succeeded by 9 votes. And there are a huge number of people in the centre-left and in Renew that are so deeply unhappy with the position that she's taken on Gaza that they have said they may well not vote for her. Mm. And the vote is a private vote. So those members will not be subject to a party whip. They can decide by their conscience who they want to vote for. So I still think she's facing an uphill battle to be reappointed president of the Commission.
Now, in terms of governments of the far right or right-ish, and Giorgia Meloni's government in Italy would be seen as not extremely far right, but definitely right, right, right. She has done well.
Yes, Meloni is undoubtedly the most important figure to the right of von der Leyen in European politics. And she's going to play a very important role, I think, in the new European Parliament. It's possible we're going to see a realignment of the far-right parties. There are two of those groupings currently. If you add up their projected number of seats, it comes to about 170, which isn't far off that of the EPP. But they are completely at odds with each other. They find it very difficult to cohere around any positions. They're not going to be able to do that, I think. But for me, Pat, the more worrying trend is at national level, because by the end of this year, we are likely to see the far right either controlling the government, as in Italy, or a member of the governing coalition in at least 8 and maybe 9 member states. We've seen new governments put together, for example, in recent weeks in the Netherlands, in Croatia, to add to those that exist already. To me, that's the deeper threat out there to democracy in Europe. It's what those 8 or 9 governments will be able to do, including when their prime ministers meet in the European Council.
And what is driving that move to the far right, do you think?
I think it's a combination of things. Firstly, it's socioeconomic. You have the kind of tail end of the 2008 recession and the austerity that was imposed after that. In combination with that, you have a housing crisis, which is Europe-wide. Younger people completely priced out of the market, as they are in Dublin and many other places here. And more recently, the cost of living crisis. We've seen, for example, analysis of wage levels in Europe, and in many European countries between 2008 and 2023, wages barely went up. In Greece, they're still about 25% behind where they were in 2008. In Ireland, they're kind of slightly up. But I think the impact on households of those different socioeconomic factors really is what's driving this. And the failure of centrist politics to respond, for example, to the housing crisis or to respond effectively, I think that's what's driving it, in addition to migration. Because migration is a Europe-wide phenomenon, and the dissatisfaction with migration, again, you can see it in opinion polls that it really matters when voters are making up their minds.
And how many of the candidates elected do you think will be absolutely Eurosceptic in the parliament, like Nigel Farage saying, we're here, but we don't really want to be here, but we're here to, if you like, stop the great experiment that is the EU?
Well, certainly Brexit had a chastening effect, I would say, that Le Pen, for example, always talked about Frexit and the potential of France leaving the EU. Brexit has proved such a catastrophe, it ended all of that kind of talk. There's literally no party now, except some of those in the more extreme ultra-nationalist Identity and Democracy that talk about leaving the EU. But if you look at the ECR and the ID combined, they are deeply, deeply Eurosceptical. And I think one of the things that we're going to see in the next parliament is it's going to be very difficult for von der Leyen, if she comes back, to progress the European Green agenda that she placed at the center of her commission after 2019. The fall in support for the Green Party is perhaps the most remarkable element in many member states, in Germany, in Ireland and elsewhere. And I think that's going to be reflected also in the greater pressure of farmers on the EPP. We've seen that over the last 4 or 5 months in many jurisdictions. And so that agenda that von der Leyen pushed pretty aggressively, I would say, through the first 4 years of her program, I think that's going to be under a lot of pressure. And this is right at the point where we have more and more evidence that climate change demands that we follow through with those policies.
So interesting times ahead. How long before it's all resolved and we have a new Irish commissioner and so on? How long will it take to put together a council, a commission?
Well, it would normally be in place by September following the June election. Last time around, it was more complicated and von der Leyen's commission did not take office until November. What Macron did last night has complicated everything very significantly because there's a European Council scheduled for the 27th and 28th of June. That's where the bargaining about the top jobs would normally take place. But because the French election is taking place just 2 days later, I think it's inconceivable now that we're going to see the choice of Commission President emerge from the European Council meeting. That will have to wait until after the second round of the French elections on the 7th of July. So potentially this could push all of this into the autumn and it could be November again before a new Commission is up and running.
Just at a time when we might be having a general election.
Exactly. All of the excitement of that combined, we'll barely be able to get through the next month's path.
And then we have Trump and Biden having a go at each other in November as well. John O'Brien, Jean Monnet Professor of European Integration at Maynooth University, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.